The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio from Gwydir Street. We've got a packed show this evening. We'll be talking St Neots Town with former assistant manager Jack Cassidy about a big week for the Saints. What a week it was. They say a week is a long time in politics. Well, it certainly is in football. Much change down at St Neots Town, but we'll be talking that with Jack in just a bit. It was a weekend of postponements, though, in terms of Saturday's fixtures. Only Histon and St Ives played. Histon, of course, losing 3-1 to Norwich Victoria in the FA Vars last 16. St Ives drawing away 1-1 at King's Lynn. Also coming up on tonight's show, then I popped down to Cam's FA HQ on Tuesday to chat to Sam Anderson, the refereeing officer there, about the FA Women's Only Refereeing course happening this February, and also Ash Dean, who has organised Futsal February for a second year running initiative to promote futsal in the local area. And, of course, we will be talking Histon. They played last night, defeated Framlingham 4-2 back at the Glassworlds, bouncing back after that devastating loss on the weekend. We'll be chatting to Lance Key about that. But first, then, let's get started where the biggest news of the last few days have been, and it's St Neots Town. And I'm delighted to say that Jack Cassidy joins me in the studio now. Thanks for coming on the show, Jack.
Thanks for having me, Ollie.
Yeah, what a week it's been then. Crazy, really. Last Thursday, Lee Cairns spoke to the Hunts Post and he said they cut their budgets with immediate effect. You know, many players have since left. Taylor Parr, Luke Knight, Johnny Hurd, Russell Short, James Hall and Tom Wood have all left. And of course, you as well have left. Mark Abbott of Haverhill Rovers has now taken over First Team Affairs. Matt Clements, the former manager, of course, who spoke many times on this show, has moved upstairs to Director of Football. So what a week it's been. What do you make of it all, Jack?
It's been a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest with you. It wasn't something that we necessarily saw coming 1 or 2 months ago. Our focus was very much remained on trying to keep the club up with the group of players that we had. And if anything, trying to add to it, because obviously we brought in James Hall within the sort of last, I would say, four to six weeks, probably less than that. And then it did all come about pretty suddenly, to be honest.
And what do you reckon the reaction has been from the fans, obviously, scrolling through social media and people who spoke to yourself?
I'm not too sure, because I'm not on social media, probably for that reason. So I don't have to see what people say. But I'm sure that the fans that have been going a few years, although they might be disappointed with what's happening, I think they probably will understand that the football club might be just going through a difficult period. So in terms of supporters, I think it's their football club ultimately, and the community's football club. So I think as long as there's a football club that remains there, I'm sure that there will be continued support.
And in terms of obviously your situation, was the brought in September as the assistant manager to Matt, but in terms of how you left, was it more of a decision because of the budget cuts that you had to go, or was it that you reflecting on the situation that you thought, right, okay, I might need to step away?
I think probably the latter. I think obviously finding out with what was going on in terms of the budget cuts. Obviously, I joined the club with the aim of, if we're being honest, trying to sort of be safe mid-table. Obviously, that didn't materialise and we got ourselves into a bit of a relegation battle, which wasn't a problem. And then when, obviously, we knew that we're going to have to lose pretty much all of the senior players. And then obviously there was obviously out publicly that there was imminent that a new manager was going to be getting appointed. I probably felt that was the right time for me to move on. And had there not been a new manager, I think just looking at it, whether I felt, I'm a guy who likes to get out on the grass and work with the team. But when you're losing all those senior players, whether I could continue to add value to what we're doing and realistically support in all I can to get the team up, to stay up. And at that point, obviously, Matt had decided to go upstairs anyway. So I was sort of hanging there, really, not really knowing what my situation was, really.
A bit in limbo, I guess.
Yeah.
And in terms of then the situation as a whole, it's bizarre in football, isn't it? You know, these sort of situations unravel at this point in the season. Usually, sort of see announcements made towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Why do you reckon the announcements were made now? Was it because there needs to be drastic action? I mean, one of the quotes from the interviews that Lee Cairns gave was, mm-hmm. was that the club is in probably the best position it's ever been since he's and his father were at the football club. So yeah. It seems a bit strange, obviously, time to announce it midway through the season.
Yeah, I think potentially what that might be a little bit misquoted from Lee. I haven't actually listened to the interview, but I think in terms of when he took over the football club and inherited it, in terms of the debt that it had then, they've got it to a position where they don't have a lot of debt anymore, and I think that's probably what he means by that statement. And they've got the football club into a better place than what it was with the debt, but obviously don't have the money in the bank to sustain what the budget was from now to the end of the season. So I think that's probably what he means by that, in terms of where he sees the football club as, you know, as we sit here now.
And it must be such a bitter pill for you to swallow, really, the work that you and Matt have done over the last few months, and Matt for a couple of years as well, that then it all starts to sort of unravel like it has with a number of first team players that you've signed and you've worked with so closely, now suddenly leaving.
Oh yeah, gutting. It is. I think you have to not take it personally, and get used to it if you want to stay in football for a long period of time, whatever level you're working at. Things like this happen all the time. If it's not Sydney, it's just another club, whether they're in the football league or in non-league. But in terms of, I think the most gutting thing was, I thought we could have stayed up with the squad that we had. I thought we were starting to gain an identity back, a way in which we planned to get out of the situation we were in. And it's just a shame that we weren't able to complete the job, because we actually will never really know whether he would have stayed up with that group of players or not now.
Yeah. Do you think that's how the season's then heading? Obviously, because of the number of players that have announced that have left, and then there's this rumour, it's never actually been officially said by the owner, but about sort of voluntary demotion in terms of dropping out the league and back into Step 3. Do you think that's where this season is heading, and it probably will end in relegation? Obviously, it's a tricky one, because on the pitch, the players will still give their all, they'll still want to get results. But it's something they're on hiding to sort of nothing. There's no sort of, I guess, ambition now. There's no sort of really target aim in terms of going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for the players to step out onto the pitch. For a start, there's a lot of young players, and they're good young players. But obviously, the experience has been taken away. In any team, it's going to make games more difficult. In terms of the voluntary relegation, nothing's officially been announced about that. So I don't know whether that's within their plans or not, but if it is, and I think with the rumours probably didn't help that, because I think a lot of the players probably went out and thought, and including myself to be honest, well, if we do win football matches and we end up do getting out of it, has it all been for nothing anyway?
Exactly, yeah.
So I think the way it's all transpired hasn't really helped, you know, the situation as a whole.
And where does this leave you currently now in terms of, you know, no longer at St Neots Town, where does this leave your position in terms of football?
Without a club, it's been a difficult season for me, because obviously I left Ricky. A year ago in January is when I left St Ives. I felt that I sort of did as much as I could there. I was with Ricky for 3.5 years, and having worked with at 2 other clubs since, you realise what a job he's doing and what a manager he is, with the resources he has. So I left him, went to Bedford Town for 6 months. Did well, but then my role changed in the summer, which was disappointing. Then sort of got the opportunity at St Neots, which was obviously exciting. So when I look at it now, it hasn't been the best season for me, really. But, you know, I'm one that looks forward, really. Hopefully there's another opportunity around the corner. I obviously want to stay in the game because I put so much into it. So it's just a case of waiting for the right opportunity. And I do need to wait for the right opportunity now with the right manager, because it's not really until you work with other managers that you realise, maybe looking back with the relationship I had with Rick at the time at St Ives, in terms of how we viewed the game, how closely we worked together, it would be ideal if I could find another situation like that at a football club that will just give us a bit of time.
Does that, what's gone on over the past weeks, does it change how you'll potentially approach jobs in the future? Because you may look sort of, I know it's difficult, you probably never predict this would have happened when you arrived in September,
yeah,
but would it mean you approach the job slightly more cautiously in terms of really do maybe actually research or really get to know the people you're working with?
Yeah, I thought the Bedford experience did that, and I thought I asked all the right questions when Matt called me and we sat down and had quite a long meeting about how I viewed the game at this level how stable the club was, and he could only answer the questions on what he knew. So I still sort of thought I asked the right questions, but yet we're still in this situation now, because I don't think what we can't control is what happens off the pitch, really. We can only control what happens on it. I think these experiences will make me... I think I'll be better for these experiences in terms of making sure that there might be a few things that I've learned that I might do some investigating on. But really, you can only actually go on what people tell you at face value. Mm-hmm. But if that turns out to be different, well... What can you really do?
Mm. And in terms of, like, so it's almost like a waiting game for you now, because it's unlikely that there's going to be an assistant manager or any sort of vacancy, mm-hmm. in terms of potentially jobs going from now until the end of the season. It's very rarely that a manager brings in new backroom staff at this point. So I guess you're sort of waiting around to the end of the season now.
Yeah, I think it's obviously different for the set of players that left. The players that have left the football club were obviously good players. They could walk into most teams at the level we're at. So it's a little bit different for me, because in terms of managers and their staff at this point in the season, everyone's sorted for staff members. So it's just a case that, you know, I certainly won't be going shopping with the missus at weekends. So Tuesday and Saturdays, I'll make sure I'm at games, just watch games across a variety of different levels, and just knowledge of players, knowledge of different types of football, and just take that in until I feel there's an opportunity that comes my way.
Mm. And you talked about sort of gaining experiences, and I guess these young players now on the St Neots side, it's probably not going to be experience that might come up too often for them in the future, but it's some experience, isn't it, really? I guess that what they're gaining from this sort of wobbly period for St Neots Town is only going to, I guess, build their character.
Yeah, I think in terms of for the players as individuals, it could really kickstart their career. Because there was a similar situation when I was at Histon many years ago where the same thing happened, and the youth team pretty much ended up playing in the first team. And before you know it, some of these lads at the end of the season could have, I think there's a give or take 14 games left, 14 games at step three that they wouldn't have got, if we're being honest, if this situation hadn't arisen. You know, JJ, Joe Ryder, two that popped to mind that from the youth team that played last night and started. Although JJ did come off the bench at Needham Market, in terms of Joe Ryder starting last night, he might not have got that opportunity had we not lost the players, or the club wasn't in the situation it's in. So it's definitely going to benefit them as individuals in terms of their career. And it'd just be once, you know, and to be fair, they'd done well last night by all accounts in terms of the scoreline. I wasn't at the game. But so if they continue to battle like that, they'll learn a lot from it as individual players.
And enough then about the past and what's going on. In terms of the future then, Mark Abbott is coming from Havelaar Rovers. Do you know much about him? Or?
No. I know that Clemo's worked with him before. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, I've actually never met him or worked with him, so I wish him all the best. But I couldn't comment on you know, how good of a manager or coach he's in. I know he's done a decent job at Haverhill, but no, I've never come across him.
And Matt Clements, of course, they're moving upstairs to director of football. How well suited do you think he'll be to that role, and how, I guess, different will that vary from his manager position that he did alongside you?
I'm not sure what the director of football will do at this level, if I'm being truthful.
To be fair, I mean, even at Cambridge United's level, I'm not sure what the director of football will do.
I'm not sure. I think maybe it would just be a case of overseeing the football side with obviously Ian Parr and Lee Kearns day to day. They're chock a block with the scholarship programme. So I think it will just be a case of, I think it will just be a go between the manager and the board, if I'm being honest with you. Potentially maybe looking at budgets and things like that, but I've got to be honest, I don't know what full job description
and in terms of him though. He's got the club at heart. I mean, he's been there for 2 years, and the way, you know, we see it from a distance, but it seems to have lifted the place and you know, the team spirit and the camaraderie that both you and Matt have gathered within the team and the fans, it seems, you know, probably from our point of view from a distance, as big as it's ever been.
Yeah, obviously I can't comment on last season because I weren't there. I can only really comment on the period that I was there. And
you think of that FA Cup run as well, and the scenes from that were incredible.
Yeah, I think that was probably our best spell, really, in terms of the moments that we had. We just couldn't quite take that into league games as much. But I'm sure, as far as I'm aware of what I've been told, Mark did the same thing at Haverhill in terms of that team spirit and that togetherness. He had quite a close-knit group of players. So I'm sure if he manages to get that together, I think, to be honest, at any level, if you get a good group of players and you're all pulling in the same direction, you've got those key values of hard work and things like that, you're halfway there anyway. Because that's what a lot of teams do, and the teams at the top of the league and that are overachieving, that's what they do, you know.
And in terms of what's next for Saints, if this sort of speculation about potentially demotion does, you know, come to the fore and they do drop down to step three, I guess it'd almost be like when clubs drop out of the Football League, mm-hmm. and then they sort of get rid of all the players and really start fresh again, bring through some youngsters, yep. and it's really a clean slate. And I guess that will be a similar situation if this does transpire for St Neots.
Yeah, and I think obviously they have got a few good youth players that could probably play that level anyway. And then obviously that's probably part of the reason that they've appointed Mark, in terms of him knowing that level of football as well and having that knowledge base of players. I think if you're a step five player, for example, I think there's worse place to play than at St Neots, in terms of the facilities of the football club are outstanding. You know, they're the best in the area. So they'll always attract players no matter what the level. It just depends. If they're at step five, I think they've got a chance of getting the better step five players within that area, really. So I think he's probably the right man for that level, should they go down to it, which obviously we don't know what's going to happen yet.
Don't know yet. And in terms of then yourself, lastly, looking back at the past and your 5 months at the club, give us your best memory. What will really stand out in your mind when you look back at this time?
The FA Cup run. I think probably the Romulus game, probably, for me, the 3-0 down. I think that the video of the pitch celebration is probably...
Titanic music.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good edit. That's probably my favourite moment. Just sad that it ends in disappointment, but I think for me you just take stuff away and learn from every situation, and it makes you a better person and hopefully a better coach.
It just seems bizarre, doesn't it, when, I mean, a week or 2 weeks ago we were chatting on the results show with yourself about a game and picking up points every now and again, and then all of a sudden it's all unravelled. It just seems so bizarre.
Yeah, that was when I spoke to you. I was excited after that game because I thought we had a little bit of an identity back. I thought we were playing a lot better. We kept a clean sheet. We started to play the way that I thought we needed to in order to get out of the situation that we were in. You know, which, if you don't keep clean sheets, there's no way we were staying up, and we looked harder to beat, more aggressive in everything that we did. So after that game, I was really excited about, you know, if we can take that on, I thought we've got a really good chance of survival here. Yeah, so to be a week later sitting here not at the football club is obviously so disappointing, really.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. What happens in football is bizarre. It's only really happens in football and not many other aspects of life. But Jack, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Wish to see you back in football very soon as well.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
No, it's great. I mean, as long as you get a job from, looking at our reach, from Chatterers to Royston, you'll be back on the show, I'm sure, very soon. Cheers, Jack.
Thank you very much. No one knows about the things that I've been through with you. There were times I drive you nearly mental, but when you're mad, you're still beautiful. And I know that I'm punching way above, so lucky that we fell in love. Sometimes I wonder, am I enough? 'Cause you could have someone without a belly or a temper, perfect teeth, hair growing where it's meant. You know my lips are all I can hold against you. This is all that I'll ever need, you and I. All the good things you do, when people take advantage of you, your heart is pure and so beautiful. And I know that it's just the way you are, Father.
father's eyes but mother's daughter. And you tell me that you don't give enough. Now I found someone with all the boxes that I wanted. Cause your love is all I ever wanted. Set my heart on fire, I needed something. This is all I wanted to be. Without a belly or a temper, perfect teeth, hair growing where it's meant to. You know my lips are all I can hold against you. This is all that I'll ever need. You and I. You and I.
Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, you're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. That was Hello My Love, new track from Westlife. It's catchy, that. It's like it's Eurovision, though. That's the issue. It's too Eurovision to really say you like it, but it's very catchy nonetheless. Right, coming up next, as I said earlier at the top of the show, firstly, great thanks to Jack Caster for coming in. Really honest interview there. Asked him a number of difficult questions about the situation down at St Neots Town. But yeah, he answered them with real integrity and real honesty as well. So thanks for coming in, Jack. If you missed that issue, interview and you came in halfway through, we'll make it into a podcast as we usually do and upload it onto our website and put out on the various social media pages. At 105 Sport is our Twitter handle. Up next then, as I said, like I said at the top of the show, I went over to Histon to visit Cambridgeshire FA HQ in the week as our partnership ever expands with the grassroots game. And we're speaking about a number of initiatives they've got going on. Firstly, the Futsal February campaign, which Ash Dean runs down there. They've done it last year and this year, really trying to raise the profile of futsal. We cover it on Cambridge 105 Radio as well. Of course, our reporter Chris Horton, the fanatic fan of Cambridge United futsal team. And of course, if you type in futsal on Twitter, you'll definitely see some of Chris Horton's tweet. But anyway, we got talking about futsal and how to raise the profile of the sport in Cambridgeshire, and this is what the Cambs FA are trying to do, and this is their part on it. So I'm here again at the Cambs FA speaking to Ash Dean about Futsal February initiative they're starting to run. So what can we expect from Futsal February and what's going to come up in the month, Ash?
So within the next month we're going to host 8 different festivals in total for both boys and girls to participate in sort of our county finals. Before moving on to a sort of regional rounds as winners of our county finals and hopefully emulating the success of Milton Under-10s last season at St George's Park and winning the national finals.
Okay, so is there sort of loads of different clubs that can take part in these festivals and then work their way into a tournament and then, like you say, get to a national final?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way our county rounds are going to work is there's 5 spaces for each category. Teams can book themselves on and we'll host a round robin tournament on the day, and the successful team come the end of the fixtures will be entered into the regionals and hopefully, like I say, moving into the national finals at St George's Park.
And there's obviously then a partnership with sort of local football clubs on a Saturday and Sunday, the mini soccer leagues, the district Colts teams, to submit teams into these tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of all working together, Cams FA and alongside the leagues, who are very supportive of the sort of futsal development that we've got going on at the moment. And teams need not worry about having fixtures because the leagues are fully supportive and are more than happy to sort of rearrange fixtures to allow these teams to participate on the festivals.
Mm. And in terms of futsal as well, what do you reckon it offers then? It differs from football. Obviously, the main sport in the area is football, but what does it offer that perhaps football doesn't?
Yeah, I guess, the biggest thing to start with is it's indoors. So for youngsters, for kids, it's warm, you know, which is massive, especially with the sort of snowy conditions we've been having recently. But it also, it maximizes touches on the ball, which I think is probably like the biggest key sort of technical factor that futsal offers. The ball is kept within the walls. I mean, we play to lines, but it's not being kicked miles away from the pitch. So games are fast paced. It's very technical and it just allows sort of maximizes touches.
And I guess it almost provides that bridge or perhaps a different option to guys who, when you get to sort of the end of cults around under 17, 18s, then they think, well, perhaps I don't want to go into men's just yet. It provides you another option. And also, it's still a very physical game. It's very fast paced as well. So you're not missing out on that aspect.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess for fitness wise, it's so fast, like you will feel sort of a more intense game coming off an hour of futsal than you would probably from an hour's 11 aside. But yeah, it just offers something completely different to the sort of traditional format. And I think for sort of skillful players, you know, they'll enjoy sort of futsal as opposed to sort of grass 11-a-side traditional game.
And in the area, we obviously know Cambridge United futsal side in the National Super League did very well last season, finishing third. In terms of your relationship with them and other senior clubs around, once people get involved in futsal and enjoy it, is there clubs they can go and play for?
So we're in sort of very early sort of development stages of futsal within the county. And from my knowledge, really all we have is Cambridge United Futsal Club, who we have great links at the moment between them and us, and we're working hard to sort of, you know, promote the sport heavily. There's a long way to go for it to be even considered anywhere near the level of the traditional side of the game. But we're just definitely looking to push it, and then, you know, going forward, I guess aspirations of creating sort of leagues, whether that's starting at mini soccer or not, or just increasing turn up and play centres for adults, and just really sort of pushing the game as an additional opportunity or a complete separate opportunity to sort of traditional style football.
And I guess one of the ways of doing that as well is it integrating futsal into your normal football sessions? I know from Planet Cambridge Night, for many years, futsal was chucked in, and as well as raising awareness of the game, it also improves your skills as well. So the two go hand in hand in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, like, you're not going to be a worse football player through playing futsal. And plus, it offers a completely unique, different style of gameplay. So yeah, you never know, going forward, one day we may be able to integrate sort of a winter futsal break into the sort of mini soccer league or something like that going forward, which will give them just, you know, the opportunity to play both at the same time. And you never know, youngsters might prefer futsal and want to push on, and from there we can look at creating sort of clubs or clubs creating futsal leagues and teams themselves, the opportunities are endless, but we just need to start somewhere.
And like we said, the growth over the last, decade or two of futsal has been incredible. But the job of these festivals is just to raise the awareness of it in the area and try and get people enjoying a different sport that's similar to football, but enjoying, you know, another sport indoors, and then hopefully that can progress and kick on.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, like, at the minute, you know, this is kind of only the second year that we've run our county rounds. So we're really just looking for sort of buy-in from clubs. We want them to come in, just experience what it's like, give it a first-time opportunity for the youngsters to play with the futsal. You know, it's a completely different ball. It has reduced bounce. It may feel harder for them to kick, but given the course of a festival, they'll see the development and like the opportunities to sort of be clever within the game, sort of try their skills, allow them to show off and show us what they can do, try and find sort of unique ways of getting out of difficult situations within the game. And, you know, I haven't seen a coach or a team that haven't enjoyed a festival that we've delivered so far. So, yeah, I mean, like I say, at the minute, we're really just trying to get the buy-in, and then once we have the buy-in, develop from there.
And finally then, just like a bonus, the potential, like Milton did last year, getting to a national final, St George's Park, like you said, it's a great day out, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, imagine as a 10-year-old as a 10-year-old boy getting to play futsal at St George's Park and then winning. It's something that we're very proud of. The sort of achievement last year was amazing from Milton. Also, Cambridge City girls under 12s did very well, didn't quite win on a day, but completely brilliant asset to the county, and like something we're very proud of.
Brilliant. And just finally then, Ash, just remind us of the dates of the events.
Okay, so we kick off this Sunday, the 10th of February, with our under 10 and 12 boys. And then over the next two weekends, we're holding the rest of the remaining categories.
And where can they go to play these in these sort of round robin tournaments?
So the games will be held at Swavesey Village College, and you can book onto each category via our website.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ash. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
That was me speaking to Ash Dean at the CAMS FA about Futsal February. Just a few bit more information for you, just to extend on to what Ash just finally said there. And the under 10 boys category gets underway this Sunday, the 10th Feb, from 10 till 12. Then you've got under 12 boys, 12:30 till 2:30, again on the 10th of Feb. Then the turn of the under 14, under 16 boys for 10 to 12 and 12:30 till 2:30. Again, that's this following Saturday, so the 16th of Feb. Then on Sunday the 17th of Feb, you've got under 14 girls and under 16 girls. And then on Sunday the 24th of Feb, you finish off with under 10 girls and under 12 girls. Sorry. So it's a maximum of 10 players per team, £25 entry fee. And you can view further dates, like I say, those dates and times on the Cambridgeshire FA website. If you want to get in touch with Ash Dean about all the information and further info on the Futsal February and all that's coming with it, is ashley.dean@cambridgeshirefa.com or call on 01223 209 034. So a brilliant campaign there that they've launched for a couple of years now in Cambridgeshire for Futsal, trying to promote this. But also on the Cambridgeshire FA website is further information about where you can go and play Futsal. We mentioned there about Cambridge United Futsal Club. There is centres in Norwich as well to play futsal. And there's also, as we mentioned earlier, about Christopher Horton, a fanatical futsal fan. Well, he runs some adult sessions to play futsal in Cambridge. I think it's at the Cambridge University Sports Centre as well. So, or if it's in there, there's information all about on the Cambridgeshire FA, and it's for adult futsal. If you want to get in touch with Chris, you can on christopher.horton87@ntlworld.com. So make sure you get in touch there. There's also a group on Facebook. So for more information, about it, email Chris and he will get you all in the know about futsal. So anyway, yeah, that sums up part one of the interviews at CAMS FA. We've got another interview with Sam Anderson, the referees officer, towards the back end of the show. And we'll also be talking to Lance Key about Histon's win last night. That's all after the travel and this track from Rick Astley. A bit of a line towards St Neots Town and their fans, so make sure they don't give up on their club as they go through this turbulent period.
Still commitments while I'm thinking of
hypocrites I hear you say as I moaned at Westlife earlier for being Eurovision-like, and then I play Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. That was for St Neots Town fans, though. But anyway, let's go over to the travel desk, and then we'll be talking Histon and get more from the Cams of Fate after this. Welcome back to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack. We've got around 15 minutes left of today's show. I'm going to talk Histon now, as they did play last night back in league action after recovering from their FA Vars defeat on the weekend. They beat Framlingham 4-2, and I'm delighted to say manager Lance Key joins me on the phone now. Thanks for coming on the show, Lance.
Hello, mate. You're right.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Lance. Let's talk firstly, just very, very briefly about Saturday. Disappointing result, but again, last night was the perfect response.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Saturday was a tough pill to swallow, in the sense that we gave everything we had. We had nothing left coming out of that game. And last night, I think it showed a little bit where we were very lethargic. And I think we did. Having said that, we went 3-0 up very, very quickly. Had a great start, a great response to what we wanted from after the weekend. But then for some reason, we took our foot off the gas. And then Framlingham showed a bit of actual quality. And the goals they scored last night were very... One was from a good through ball, and the second one was a beautiful free kick. So... to kind of get over the line and stutter over it a little bit last night to win 4-2, that was a bit flattering on our part. But then having said that, I think I put it on Twitter today, we have no divine right to beat anybody, whether it be Sunderland or Bottom or Northern Victoria, flying high in their league. So a win is a win. 3 points is 3 points and back top of the league. So yeah, it was a tough grind last night, but it was worthy in the end of it.
Yeah, and like you said... possibly a bit lethargic, but equally, like you mentioned, the 3-0 up, the start you made was incredible, 3-0 up. And what was said then in the changing room before the match, obviously after the loss on the weekend, conscious that you've, probably not right at the front of your mind, but conscious in the back of your mind you've lost two on the bounce, what was said from those key players in the dressing room?
We just wanted to make a fast start and basically go out from it. And obviously, that are a side that are lacking in confidence themselves because they've conceded a few goals. And we said that if we go for a quick start, press high, be energetic, and try and get the weekend's fixture out of our system, get the last sort of loss in the league out of our system, and just have a real go. And half an hour in, the game plan was working perfectly. but then, for some unknown reason, like I said before, the foot comes off the gas, and then you make life difficult for yourself. And once you start to concede one and then two, you then become jittery. So it was a game that we should have won comfortably and didn't in the end, but a win is a win.
Yeah, and like you just mentioned, Framlingham hit back to make it 3-2. That word that we've used so often throughout the season so far, character, must have been shown to really, I guess, dig in and avoid Framlingham going level and equally then restoring the lead in the last minute to make it a 4-2 victory.
Yeah, we had a 3-2 at half-time, and it's, I haven't had to do that very often this season, but I had to do it on last night. But to be fair, the second half was a very professional performance. We never looked really in danger the second half, if I'm honest, and we created one or two chances of our own. They had the odd half chance, but if I'm honest, it was a comfortable win in the second half. But when you're only one goal up to the good against a side that's struggling, it's very jittery. But to get over the line last night and to go back top of the league is exactly what we wanted. So let's kick on again now with a winning on Saturday.
And in terms of the last three matches, conceded seven. I thought on Saturday, all of the back three defended magnificently, despite conceding the three goals. Obviously, one coming in the last minute as well when you're pushing for a winner. But conceding seven in three, is that really a concern at all? Or are you, relatively happy with how things are going?
Not really. I mean, I think if you take the two goals out in extra time, and people are off their feet a little bit. So I don't really look into it that too deeply, if I'm honest. I think that it's one of those where, as long as you're scoring more than you're conceding, that's a good thing. But I think that the way we've... the last three games have gone and the goals have conceded. Some tired legs out there. A lot of emotion and physical stuff have gone on over the last sort of 2 weeks. And I think once you've got through that and get a win like last night, hopefully we can then regroup, regather our thoughts for Saturday and be refreshed again.
And Sam Relazani and Evan Key as well coming in and scoring. I thought Key especially played really well on Saturday when he came on, and a boost for them coming into the side from the start and scoring.
Yeah, I mean... said this before, the squad we have is nice, and so like with Evan coming in and Slim coming in, both have played higher, both have had a little couple of late through injury and just lack of football full stop. So it was nice to give them Evan got 80 minutes last night, Sleen got 70, and it all bodes well because next week we play Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, so it's going to be a tough week next week, so we need as many bodies as we can probably get.
And going into those fixtures, top of the league again, so no longer chasing, which psychologically must be a big boost for you.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, those games in hand are crucial, but obviously we have a tough February coming up. I think end of February, straight early March, you have Stowmarket, Brantham, Kirkley. And it's a tough sort of 2-3 weeks for us. So we're going to have to work hard to stay where we are. But we're there right now and we're there to be shot at.
Lance, thank you very much. Wish you all the best on the weekend. Again, hopefully pick up another 3 points.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
Lance Key there talking Histon there. Last night's victory, a 4-2 win over Framlingham, bottom of the league. Framlingham, like you said, taking that 3-0 lead in the first half an hour. Framlingham hitting back to make it 3-2, but as we've said just then, that character and that determination showed to make it 4-2, and Max York scoring again in the last minute, a penalty to make it 4-2. Moving on then, and the final interview of today's show. As I said earlier in the show, I went to the Cams FA this week over at Histon to talk to, firstly, Ash Dean and Sam Anderson as well. Sam Anderson, we spoke about refereeing in Cambridgeshire, really, and there's a course this month, the 21st and the 22nd of February, to be specific. It's a women-only course for refereeing to try and get more young girls, and I guess any girls across all ages involved in football and in the refereeing side in particular. So this is what he had to say. So we were Sam Anderson at the Cams FA. Sam, talking about today the female-only refereeing course. Just tell us a bit what it's about, other than the title and the obvious.
Yeah, so we've planned a referees course for sort of February time, half-term, in partnership with sort of the South Cams School Sports Partnership, aimed at getting more female referees involved in refereeing. We've been able to try and get some funding for it as well to make it free of charge for those individuals to get involved.
Yeah, and the main question, obviously, that in the title is female only. Why have you done that, obviously? To try and encourage more females to get involved in the sport and the refereeing side.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the funding specifically for refereeing hotspots and running more referee courses for females only. We're just trying to create that environment for them to come in and feel like they can develop as referees in a safe environment for themselves.
And you mentioned the funding as well from the FA and the national governing body. Just explain a bit about that, the amount of funding you get for the Female Referee Development Fund as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been given a pot of money. I don't know the exact figure off the top of my head, but it's sort of aimed at obviously getting more referees involved in the game and then creating more development pathways for those female referees within the county.
And I guess one of the important things is as well, when we talk about female football, is on the field and how that's grown in the last few years. And equally now, if people don't want to get involved in the playing side, you've got to match that with growth in terms of refereeing, officiating, and you know, all sort of aspects of the sport.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Super League's definitely helped in sort of promoting the women's game. It's definitely seen an increase in females getting involved in refereeing. I mean, 8% of our workforce at the moment is females, which for such a small county as we are is quite a strong number really compared to nationally. So it's good to see, and hopefully it's going to continue improving with this course and future courses we're putting on.
Is it difficult to increase that number, that 8%, when you know the role models at the top of the game, especially in the men's side, is not really strong in terms of women officials? And you've got Sean Macy Ellis in the Premier League, but apart from that there isn't many. So is that one of the key sort of difficulties in trying to get the role models to shining examples of and leading the way?
Yes and no. I think there's more events going on nationally now promoting women's refereeing. Yesterday there was a national women's development group at St George's Park, which saw over 300 female referees attend. It's getting them involved in sessions like that and promoting those kind of development opportunities and the opportunities that are there in general in terms of the women's refereeing pathway as well as the men's refereeing pathway. It'd be great to see more female referees at the top level of the game, perhaps eventually refereeing actually a Premier League game. There are more coming through the pyramid, hopefully, onto the Football League and Premier League in seasons to come where these young referees can aspire to be.
We had you on the show a few weeks ago talking about the Respect the Ref campaign. Yeah. I guess that campaign goes hand in hand with this course as well, really, because if you know, young females are looking to go on the course, they want to know that they're being respected by people, you know, parents along the side of the pitch and also players on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen 2 weekends now of this purple shirt campaign, and it's had a positive effect straight away. We've seen a decrease in issues coming in. It's been very well received by referees and clubs. From that, we're starting to develop more development evenings for referees in general around the county to support both our more experienced and senior officials as well as our young up and coming referees, which again falls hand in hand with this course as well as the purple shirt scheme that we're running.
And just tell us then specifically a bit about the course in terms of what people can expect when they sign up and sort of things they'll be getting up to.
Yeah, so the course is 21 hours long, predominantly practical based. We only spent sort of about 2 or 3 hours out the whole time period indoors. It's all practical based. We're teaching them the skills of refereeing in a live environment, or as live as we possibly can get in that situation. Teaching them to deal with situations on the pitch, teaching them the basics of refereeing, and hopefully getting a little bit of a bite there for them to progress and continue with it afterwards.
And what would be the official qualifications? They'll get stamped on a bit of paper afterwards?
Yeah, so they get the FA Basic Referees course, which then develops into the full course later on.
And that allows them to referee at a certain level, say youth level, does it straight away?
Yeah, it all depends on age. So if they're over the age of 16, you can go straight into men's football or women's football. Underneath that, it's all youth football. Refereeing 2 years below your age, up to 16. Mm. So there's definitely opportunities there for people to come in a safe, enjoyable environment that isn't too pressure orientated on them, particularly if they're coming in at the minimum age of 14 years old, which we're seeing more and more people do these days.
Mm.
It's difficult to try and recruit the adults coming into the game, but we're definitely getting there with the youth side of things. And long term, if we can retain them and recruit them, then it's positive for our senior football in the county as well.
And how much of the course will be as well as dealing with mental aspects as well? Because I imagine young females coming into the course, they're maybe slightly a bit daunting, you know, coming into a referee's course straight away, but then adding on to that the fact that the next step would possibly be refereeing and then even refereeing at men's level. That might be obviously something quite difficult to comprehend for them at the start.
Yeah, definitely. So once they come out of the course, we try and allocate them to some of our hub clubs around the county where we've managed to work with these clubs to create that safe environment for them. As well as sort of the recruitment of mentors and support network there for them on match day. So there's that someone there that can give them that bit of advice or that shoulder to ask if they've got a question after the game, if something's not quite gone how they've expected it to, or if they feel there's been an issue in a game, they've got someone there they can talk to. It's just more rolling that out countywide and increasing the opportunity that we can do for them and the support we can offer.
And what would you say to like anyone who sort of listened to the interview, slightly like I said, just nervous or apprehensive perhaps more about what they can expect and when they turn up?
Just give us a call. If they've got any questions or queries, drop us a call. We'll talk through any concerns, any issues that they've got in terms of getting involved, and we'll support them as much as we possibly can to get them into refereeing, because it's a strange thing, really. People don't know why we get into it, but we do get into it. We enjoy it, and it's keeping those people in. And it's as soon as you're in there, as soon as these people start on, we tend to keep the majority of them. It's just getting that first step is the hardest bit. After that, then we can support and do as much as we possibly can to keep them in the game.
And that's 21st of February at
21st and 22nd, Comberton Village College.
Thank you, Sam, I really appreciate it.
No worries.
Sam Anderson there of the CAMS FA talking to me in the week about the Women's Only Refereeing course. A great initiative there. Like you said there, 21st, 22nd of February. If you want to get in touch with them, you can do. Head over to the CAMS FA website for more info on that. Just running through your Cambridgeshire County League update now. Not many games to tell you about on the weekend, of course, and many postponed. There was one fixture in Senior A, Somersham Town, in a thriller against Chatteris, losing 5-4 to Chatteris. So that was Chatteris 5, Somersham 4. A few more fixtures in Senior B to tell you about, though. Newmarket Town Reserve team drew 1-1 with Needingworth United. St Ives Rangers first team drew 2-1 with Bluntisham Rangers there, a bit of a local derby. And Wychford 96 defeated Cambridge University Press Reserves 5-1. So a few results, not many, I'm sure. Hopefully the fixtures will be back on track this weekend, weather permitting. But that's it for today's show. We'll be doing more stuff with the CAMS FA over the coming weeks. We'll have a feature interview in conversation with them every month, and we'll let you know what March's conversation will be about in the coming weeks. But make sure you stay tuned to Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Molly Slack. I'll be back on Saturday with the Cambridgeshire Football Show, and up next is Tim Willett with the new music generator. Right.